Welcome, everyone, to the session today on Artificial Property Buyer's Agent. AI is playing an increasingly important role, and we're seeing a lot of sessions today on AI. Today, we've got Iris, Simon, Chuzi, and Dan talking to us about an AI solution that can potentially significantly improve the property buying process. So without further ado, I'll introduce our presenters. We have Iris Deng, who is a senior pricing manager at Zurich. We've got Simon Kong, who's a chief examiner at the Actuaries Institute. We've got Chuzi Zhang, who's a senior data consultant at Dadley, and Dan Wang, who is the associate director at Dadley as well. I'll just hand it over to the presenters. Thanks.
Have you ever experienced being overwhelmed by the volume of data and conflicting views when trying to make one of the most important financial decisions? Have you found yourself spending countless hours researching for properties, only to end up more confused than when you started? I recently started on a journey of buying a property. There are plenty of properties out there, like realestate.com and domain, but they are not built into end-to-end solutions. You still end up doing a lot of the work yourself, which is becoming a time-consuming process. On top of that, there will be information overload. It's just so much there. Data, opinions, sales materials. It's hard to tell what's useful and what's just marketing. Like many others, I found myself limited by the geographic buyers and focus on the areas that I've already knew. I also thought about human buyer's agent, but they have very high upfront commissions. On top of that, there are some real risks. Real Estate Buyer's Agent Association has warned the risk of underqualified buyer's agents and conflict of interest. Sure, they provide advice, but how do you guarantee that they don't prioritize their own commissions rather than what's actually right for you? This has led to the idea behind the presentation. We are thinking that, is there a better way for the property buying process? Smarter, faster, and fairer. So we are here to present the solution to our problem, to the problems, artificial property buyer's agents. The key advantages of property buyer's agents are: it is fast and provides automatic analysis. No appointment, no delays. Secondly, it's affordable. Yes, there might be monthly subscription fees, but it's just a fraction of traditional human buyer's agent. Thirdly, it provides objectivity to the process. Finally, it provides market insights via comprehensive data analysis and visual assessment. So AI property buyer agent can help to make smarter property decisions. Now I'm going to talk about the AI property buyer's agent process. So the AI property buyer's agent starts with identifying the personal goals and user preferences. It will start by asking key questions such as budget, the type of property, whether you are looking for long-term growth or focus on rental yield. After the information is collected, AI property buyer agent will conduct data-driven research and recommend suburbs. After target suburbs are selected, AI property buyer agent will shortlist individual properties that match the criteria of the user. You might be asking, what about physical inspections? That's something that human buyer agent do, right? In this process, other professionals, like local property managers, can step in. Many are happy to do the physical inspections for free or for a very small fee, especially if they are going to manage the property later. What about negotiations? Our AI property buyer agent conduct data-driven research and comprehensive data analysis to help guide the negotiations. Now you know the process. I would like to do the demo and show you the output of the AI property buyer agent. We've created the website that show where AI property agent can talk to the client, answer questions, offer recommendations, and doing it in real time. I'm going to show you how AI property agent helped me through my property. So as an investor, I have a 1 million budget and looking for the properties in with a high rental yield. So I ask AI to help me with the recommendations. So AI then recommend me suburbs in Western Australia, which has very high rental yield. However, I would like to update my preference to New South Wales. So I told the AI to update to New South Wales and I'm looking for regional town centers and I would like to have a low vacancy rate and within 50 meters of CBD. Let's have a look of AI property agent's result. After my updating the criteria, AI property buyer's agent recommend a number of suburbs in New South Wales that fit the criteria. So among all the suburbs, it gives the market stats like rental yield and vacancy rate. So among the suburbs, I would like to choose Tamworth, which has the lowest vacancy rate. Based on my preference, I'm going to tell AI buyer's agent to update my preference and help me to recommend properties in Tamworth. As a result, let's see, I told the AI to recommend properties in Tamworth. In addition to that, I would like the property to have 4-bedroom, large land size of 1,000 meter squares. So I would like the brick house in good condition. So now let's have a look at the result. So I told the AI property agent to research the properties and fit the criteria. Let's see what AI property agent recommends. So, based on the requirement, the AI property buyer agent recommends two properties that fit my criteria. So both properties are currently listed for sale in Tamworth, where it's a brick house and large land size of more than 1,000 meter squares. So AI property buyer agent gives an overview of the two properties. In addition to that, it will generate a full summary report for each of the property. So now, let's have a look at the summary report for the first property. So, it will first give the reasons of the recommendations and also will summarize potential concerns. As you can see from the report here, based on the house conditions, both bathroom and kitchen are out of date. However, let's go down to have a look. The exterior were well maintained. And it also gives a defect assessment. As you can see, that there's no structural damage. In addition to that, the AI property buyer agent gives the investment metrics such as rental yield, capital growth, and an estimate of market value. Finally, it gives the planning information, including whether it is heritage or whether it's in a flood zone. So if you like the property, just click the hot icon. It will add to the saved property list where you can come back to it later. So this is an example of the AI property buyer's agent. We do believe that AI property buyer agent can make a difference and enhance decision making. We have a QR code in the end and feel free to scan and test it. So now I'm going to pass to Simon to talk about user scenarios and photo processing.
All right. So let's thank Iris for the introduction and also the demo, which is very interesting. So for the next, thank you. So for the next section, my section, I'm going to look through a couple of scenarios and how the AI property agent can help. Until the thing. The next one. So for the first scenario, imagine a young couple in their 30s based in Sydney, and that both of them are full-time working. They've never invested in properties before, and like many first-time home buyers, they are cautious and they don't have the market, but they don't have the market knowledge and don't have the time to research suburbs. Their budget is about $1 million. And they're looking for a house with land. But with that much budget, they can't find a house that they like in Sydney. So they're now considering rent vesting, so buying a property somewhere else with the hope of accumulating enough equity in 5 to 10 years' time to buy their second dream house in Sydney. So they are budget conscious and not keen to spend $20,000 upfront commission on a human buyer's agent. This is where our AI property buyer's agent steps in. Through a conversation with the couple, the AI extracts their profile and preferences. It recognizes their investment goal, which is to balance between rental yield and short to medium term capital growth. So they can eventually leverage that equity to buy their house in Sydney. From there, the AI property buyer's agent filters suburbs using data and identifies Brisbane as a good investment location for the couple, all within a few seconds. And importantly, the AI explains why. The AI explains Brisbane as a good location because it has strong growth momentum, which is likely to continue. That's supported by population growth and infrastructure spending linked to the 2032 Olympics. At the same time, a rental yield of 4% is higher than Sydney. Brisbane being a metro city is also considered a safer location than regional towns, which might offer high yields, but being too risky for first-time investors. So here's a disclaimer. This is all for scenario, so don't take it as personal advice. On the next slide, we will show you two sample Brisbane suburbs that AI recommends. So AI recommends Zilmere and Breckenridge. Both of them within budget and also offering decent rental yield with vacancy rates of less than 1%. We are positioned for strong short to medium term capital growth. But beyond the data, the AI also justifies why it's being recommended. Zilmere for its accessibility, affordability, and being close to jobs and shops, hospital. Breckenridge for its family appeal, being close to jobs and shops and gentrification potential. They are insights that you expect from a human buyer's agent, but only without the $20,000 price tag. And the AI can do it faster, objectively, and it's data-driven and available 24/7. So let's move on to our second scenario, which is looking at another full-time working couple. And this time, they're looking to purchase an investment property through their self-managed super fund. Their budget is $650,000, and they don't want to pay $20,000 commission on top of that for a human buyer's agent. The couple is seeking long-term capital growth potential because they intend to hold the property until retirement, as that's the nature of a super investment. Based on the user requirement, our AI again identifies Melbourne as a good investment location for the couple. The AI explains that while Melbourne had softer capital growth post-COVID, it now shows strong potential for mean reversion. Prices are more affordable than Perth and Brisbane. And long-term demand is supported by migration and strong fundamentals. Okay, and then our AI gives two sample Melbourne suburbs that AI recommends. The AI recommends Campbellfield and Albanvale. Both suburbs are within budget and within 17 kilometers from the Melbourne CBD, offering about 4% rental yield and vacancy rate of less than 1%. Again, in this scenario, the AI extracts user profile and preferences and makes recommendations based on the budget, goals, investment time horizon without paying the $20,000 commission for a human buyer's agent. Another powerful feature of the AI property buyer's agent is its photo processing capability. It can analyze property listing photos and to assess conditions and provide recommendations. On this slide, we're comparing two kitchen images. One that's modern, one that's a bit outdated. The AI can identify outdated elements as well as modern features and design, as you can see on the slides. This gives investors a quick, objective indication of whether a property is in good condition or likely to require upgrades. For the photo on the left, the AI concludes that the kitchen is modern, it's well-maintained, has a functioning layout, and has no visible issues. And for the photo on the right, the AI flags it's outdated and likely to achieve good rental income in its current state. The AI then recommends two upgrade options for that kitchen to improve rental potential. And for each option, it was able to provide an estimate of how much it will cost for each of those options. The ability to assess condition from photos quickly, consistently, and without bias helps investors search for properties more efficiently and decide when a renovation cost should be included in the overall budget. Now, moving on to the next, shows another example where this time we're looking at comparing two bathrooms. Again, one is good and one is a bit outdated. For the photo on the left, the AI identifies a recently renovated modern bathroom that's in excellent condition. It also picks up a minor cosmetic issue. So if you can see, I'm not sure, it's a bit blocked here, but then there is the silicone seal around the bathroom basin is a little bit degraded, and the AI was able to pick up that and recommends replacing it to prevent water damage for an estimated cost of about $100. For the photo on the right, the AI flags it's outdated and suggests two upgrade options depending on the budget, and provides cost estimates for each option. I've got another two examples which I want to quickly go through. So for this, on this slide, we're showing how the AI property bias agent is able to pick up potential signs of potential structure issues. For the photo on the left, the AI knows the flooring, the fireplace, the finishes look great, but it also detects a diagonal crack just above the door opening. If you can see, there's a black line which is diagonally just above the door opening. And AI suggests this may be a sign of potential structure defect. It then recommends engaging a building inspector or structure engineer to assess the issue. So this demonstrates how the AI can help investors identify hidden risks early in the process and save investors money later on. Now, looking at the photo on the right, the AI summarized the room is dated. It's heavily worn carpet and outdated finishes, so it requires a bit of upgrades, and depending on budget, you can choose to replace the carpet or do a more complete cosmetic refresh for different levels of budget. Okay, the last example I want to show on the photo processing capability is its ability to assess site photos for planning potential. So starting on with the photo on the left, the AI was able to identify a large level rectangular block with dual street access. The existing house is positioned towards the front, leaving a large backyard with its own street frontage. The AI recognized the potential for subdivision into multiple lots. Subject to council approval, as also lots, the existing house can be retained and only develop the rear. And in contrast, the AI identifies the photo on the right to have more limited potential because it shows an irregular-shaped block in a quiet cul-de-sac. The AI notes that the existing house is to the side, which allows vehicle access to go to the rear of the block. So AI flags potential, but options are more limited because of that irregular shape. In both cases, the AI is capable of assessing planning potential. It understands how site layout affects the feasibility. It considers things like access, block geometry, setback requirements, then forms a view on what's likely to be feasible. This is able to provide the planning insight instantly, helping investors identify properties with potential. And we start this in overview of what AI property bias agent is capable of. Choosing will now take over to talk about how we made it work and the AI model structure.
Hi everyone, my name is Chuzi. With an engineering background, I was largely responsible for building the AI property agents. Our project is focused on real estate, but I believe the underlying principle, particularly around the intelligent decision making and process automation, tackles the same pain point as you solving the actual studies. Next slide. The approach we use, today I want to cover two main areas. Firstly is the approach and our architecture. Second is data we use. So the approach we use to tackle the complexity in property search is called agentic workflow. At the beginning, we are using a deterministic one, just like on the left-hand side. It's following a linear fixed order. Like in this example, it can be firstly determines your user preference, then searching for property, after that filter by certain criteria. But let me explain why it's not works. Deterministic work well for standardized tasks, like you may already know, like doing a simple calculation or a data transformation process. But searching property is another story. Different people have different preference, and same as property as well, they have different features. And more importantly, and makes this question even complicated, is your preference might change, and as a new property might show up every day, and you might stumble upon some suburb that you never considered before. So you can see this process isn't just a fixed sequence. It's more like a dynamic back and forth explorations. So this is exactly where agentic workflow came into play. Instead of building a sophisticated deterministic workflow that can cover all the possible scenario, we decide to introduce large language model to come into play, takes the responsibility to handling all the reasoning and the planning. With this design, the agentic workflow can think of its next step based on your input, based on the context of conversation, based on the task as it evolves. It's much flexible compared to deterministic one. And this flexibility really gives a superpower to handle all the highly complex or personalized tasks, like searching property in my examples. I want to dive a little bit deeper into more technical part. Today I want to introduce how do we structure the intelligence to behave this agentic way? How do we dynamic thinking? So the approach we use today is called React Agent. It's standing for reasoning and acting. So you can see it has two key components. First one is the reasoning part. It's empowered by a large language model. You can think of it as the brain of the system. It's handled the high-level reasoning, then understand your question, plan the overall strategy, and more importantly, decide which tool you need to use to achieve your goal. Second part is the action node. There are specific actions the system can take. In my example, it can be update your preference using preference extraction tool, searching a property listing using a property recommendation tool, or searching any kind of external data using web search. I think what makes this React framework stand out is the loop in the middle, the interaction between how reasoning node and action node interact together, because that's a key point makes dynamic decision happen. I want to dive a little bit deeper with the example. I hope that will explain further. In this time, I will ask a little bit vague question. Let's say I'm looking for a house somewhere in the western suburb. The reasoning node, like the brain, will think about how should I complete the user questions. It will firstly realize he can't use the property recommendation tool directly because Western suburb is not a suburb name. It's more like a region. So what he needs to do first is understand which suburb is belonging to the Western suburb. To doing that, he will ask in the action node to take action on the web search, listing all the suburb name belonging to the Western suburb. After he receives this information, he will call in a property recommendation tool to gather a list of property from each of the suburbs. after he received all the information, the reasoning node will do the reasoning one more times. But this time, he will not take in any other tool because he already got all the information he needs. And this time, he will revise the answer and give you the final answer. This reasoning and acting iteration achieve dynamic decision making by breaking the complex task into separate subtasks and reacting to external real-time information. This makes our agent can plan and execute an even highly complex task. I think I talked enough about the architecture. Let's move to something as important as the architecture, the data. We have five different data types to give better recommendations. But something I want to highlight again is the image data. We use GenAI to extract additional information from this type of unstructured data like image. You already say from the demo and from the previous slides, things like detecting visible defects, access architecture style, and identify your key features, evaluating the maintenance and the conditions. It can do far more than that, as you already see the demos. I think this really empowers our agent to move beyond from standardized features, because we are really bring much more feature to do the comparisons. I think that's the key advantage of our model compared to any competitors. Lastly, please note our model is designed to be expandable. As more data become available, we can integrate it and make our model smart over time. I think time to sum up. By integrating all the data from different sources, our agent move beyond from simple match to comprehensive understanding analysis. It helps paint a complete picture of the property and its context. So I hope you enjoy exploring our demo in the end of session. Now I want to hand over to Dan to expand further.
Just have to ask for a round of applause for Chusey. Good job in actually explaining this. Okay, so basically my part will be simple and probably a bit more interactive. And I would like to talk about a bit of learnings and insights we get from this exercise. And okay, this is an interesting one. So we know there are a lot of different types of large language models in the market. So which one do we use to do this exercise? And our approach is we come up with four well-thoughtful standard cases to test the model. So first three is actually focused on the accuracy. And then the first one, high rental yield. Second one, capital growth. Third one is an interesting one. It's an out-of-scope question. Model do not know which property is near the school and near the supermarkets. So model need to do their own job. And that is definitely a good question to distinguish the model performances. Last one is a speed question. So there is a one single right answer for that question and see which model does the best. Okay. Here's the model result. A bit of caution here is we actually do this testing based on the fine-tuned model. So Gemini has been fine-tuned. Okay. So as we can see from the result, Gemini performs the best. In terms of the number of the queries to get to the answer lowest, and accuracy is basically based on the model result, we do a human verification and then looking at whether the model actually achieves its purpose or not. Gemini is still the best. Runtime, the fastest one. One of the key important things I want to mention here is the cost. So when we test the model, especially if you are actually developing your GI use case, model cost is a good consideration to have. An example, when I play around with the ChatGPT for around 20 minutes, I get a $20 bill. Very painful. So probably bear that in mind when you're actually doing this sort of testing. But having said that, I think there are two key messages. Gemini performs best, and then our fine-tuning actually play a big role in terms of making it the best model to use. Okay. All right. So initially, we thought this is a two-week exercise. We build a chatbot on top of the large language model that the work is done. And we actually ended up spending around 2 or 3 months, purely actually one people equivalent full-time job do the model development. It's a lot of work going on. And we resolved 15 major issues, and I would like to show you the top three issues we encountered and how do we resolve it. The first one is the model is super talkative and at the beginning stage. So some people actually ask training questions and still didn't get an answer, and people get impatient. And we actually done a big improvement there. So we tell the model what is the principle and what is the, let the model decide what is the optimal question to ask. And also we actually get the model to do a balance between asking and advising. So if you're testing out the model, you probably have to, you will see this. So after you answer a few questions, the model will start to give you some prompts, as in, oh, this is actually what you like. When you say yes and no, those things will give the model good information to work on as well. The second one is about the speed. So initial task takes around 40 seconds to come back with an answer. And what's happening there is because this model has so many tools and they run them one by one sequentially, we apply the parallel run as much as we could, especially on the internet searches. So they can do the 10 searches together, and that significantly increase the user experiences by reducing the runtime from 40 seconds to 5 seconds. Last one, error handling. The first round of testing, we have 10 people testing, all failed. This is because each tool, we have 15 tools in total. If there's any tool encountered a failure, the things will crash. And we actually feedback those error log and back to the large language model and let large language model decide what is the best way to encounter it. And also, one important feature is the auto rerun. So especially with the internet related tool, if there's a timeout and we wait for the 1 minute and we'll rerun again. So this has significantly reduced the successful rate. And we're expecting a successful rate of around 90%. I won't say it's perfect, but yeah, so this is actually where we get to. Okay. This is an interesting byproduct of our model development process. What you're looking at here is, in total, there are around 80 people have tested the result, all anonymous. We don't know who they are. We did perform some analysis on the chat history and generate this insight. I'll go through this insight first, okay? So as you can see, most people looking at the New South Wales with a $1 million budget, and they look at three-bedroom houses, and most of them are owner-occupied instead of investors. Perhaps it's just a reflection of the group of the people, actually, basically our friends, is within this bucket. Okay, here's the interesting one. Everyone loves to live close to station, train station. Good luck with $1 million in Sydney. And indoor, everyone loves the big kitchen and modern design. $1 million is a stretch again. And big backyard and swimming pool is actually the thing. Okay, why this is interesting? Okay, so this is actually, as we thought about it, we can even sell this product to people, to the right people. So first is for the investors. As an investor, I want to buy something is easy to sell. I want to know what others are looking at. This gives you the answer. Secondly, for the real estate agent, I want to know what users are looking at. I want to know what is the latest trend. And this report will give you the answer. So we can actually sell this as an add-on of premium services if people are interested. This is probably the last section of what I want to say. It's a commercialization. This is a very motive to keep us going. Right? I spend the weekends and nights actually doing this development. And three things actually to mention here. The first and most important one is the data, because this model cannot function without data. Listing data, financial data, suburb data, expensive but very important to have. Marketing, this is around who is going to buy this. Are you targeting the individual buyer? Are you targeting the agents to apply the commission-based model? Different models will require different thinkings or different design of this idea. The last one is a business plan. So there's significant cost in the data and there's big income coming out. If this is successful, a lot of income. And then I think this is where we can use our actuarial skills. We can apply some strong business plan models, EV model, for example, look at the new business value and do assessment on whether we have a business case or not. Some thinking we're just trying to put it through. If you are interested, if you want to talk about it, definitely reach out. We are very happy to talk through this. Okay, just to sum up, I think we've done it. So this is our target, right? So as a team, we want to create a AI-driven model. We have done something. This model is intelligent, efficient, and cost-effective. On top of this, we have done a paper. So four of us spent some weekend, and there's a paper that will give you more detail if you're interested to read as well. And exciting time. Okay, so I have to give a word of caution here. This infrastructure is built on a free services. So if there are more than 20 people using it together, I'm not expecting that to run. However, having said that, please be patient. The model will run itself. I mean, because the back end of this will run in 1 or 2 hours time. So keep the link and then test it out. And if you have any questions, any feedback, please reach out. And we're very happy to help. And yeah, so thanks very much for your time. And now I'll hand over to Ian to do the Q&A session. Thank you.
Yep, we've got about 10 minutes for Q&A. Please use the app and upvote questions. There's about 5 there already, or use the old school method and there's a mic right there. I'll kick off with the first one, which was about how do you ensure data accuracy where sometimes AI fakes numbers, which tied into a question of mine, which is around, you know, whether you encountered hallucination, did you find suburbs that didn't exist in Sydney or anything else along the way?
I hope you pass around the mic.
So we build our own data warehouse to support the analysis. On top of that, in our modeling stage, we also have the model planning and model validation to ensure that the AI property buyer agent to do the right thing.
So we often hear stories about how human property bias agent, like the news about unethical behaviors and et cetera, leading to unfavorable outcomes for their clients, not acting in their best interest. Similar to a human bias agent, the AI can make mistake, but then because our AI model is, Iris explains, data driven, it's based on actual data, not made up data. So we recommend based on those as data driven. And with proper training, we believe that we can reduce the, risk of, errors to a minimal. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I can add on a little bit based on the technology perspective, because we are building agents and calling the tool, like the tool, like web search, calling from this database. So it's hallucination usually is big problem for large language model itself. But when we give the large language model the hand to use additional tool to get additional information, sometimes it can minimize this kind of risk.
Just a very quick point. The AI is hard to replace a human, so our job is safe, I think.
Okay, there's the next one here. Would the AI be able to identify future developments in areas that could lead to high returns for property investment?
So, well, it's a bit, need to be a bit careful about this one. I mean, I've got my own personal views of why you shouldn't be looking for new future development like the greenfields, because there are too much supply. And so it's a supply demand game. I mean, too much supply. Your price is not going to look great. But then yes, the answer is yes. It can, identify future development potentials, as we shown in our reasoning. The AI gives a reason for their recommendation. And then if the AI after training believes that this is a plus point that supports the recommendation, it will be included.
I'll just add a quick point on this one. So basically this model is designed to be smart enough to digest the knowledge. Say for the people interested in those good area or the faraway area, and then there is a specific people who are providing expert articles, say John Smith, always provide articles in this area. You can feed those knowledge into the model as well. So the model will give you that knowledge. I mean, this is one of the functionality we specifically created just to deal with the people who has a special request on a specific area of the market.
There's one question around whether you've done any back testing to see if the LLM makes good investment decisions.
You want to take?
Well, it's certainly something that we would be doing next for our AI property models. I mean, at this stage, I mean, this model is only about maybe 1 month old, and we haven't had a chance to gather enough history. I mean, because with AI, you couldn't be doing backtesting, because it's a live model that takes on the latest data. So to do it properly, you will need to be starting from now. Once you have the recommendation, then in 2 years' time and see how it goes. But then, as you can see, it has got its reasonings. And then, so if you are confident about AI's reasoning, then that's going to support, I mean, that's going to increase your confidence in the recommendation. Anything to add?
And I think there's at least 2 questions around comparing to a property agent, which potentially has access to off-market and pre-market properties and offer some negotiation. So how does the AI benefits offset those limitations?
tough market.
Sorry, me again. So, I mean, well, I mean, the good and bad about off market, opportunities. Again, this is my personal view, but then, they're off market opportunities for a reason, because they want to save on advertising costs, which can be a few thousand dollars or staging cost. And then go up, I mean, for, especially for first time buyers who are dealing with, buyer's agents, you should be really cautious about those off market opportunities, because there's no guarantee they're good. I mean, they're off market for a reason. The good ones will go on the market, and the market will decide what the cost is.
Probably just add a very quick point. A lot of the time, the upmarket comes to two reasons. One is, Simon mentioned, the property won't sell. And second one is the people who want to save the advertisement costs. So advertisement costs are $10,000. This is the newest cost, actually. They doubled it. And then people, if you don't want to do the advertisement, agent always say, I give you this upmarket thing. I send the email, spam email to everyone I know. And then it actually make it hard. So yeah, so upmarket is definitely something, not something, I mean, we will personally recommend as investors. We bought and sold quite a few properties here.
And there's one here around image sources and whether real estate agents often have heavily edited photos, and whether the AI could recognize that they were doctored photos, and whether you could supplement the information with loading photos.
Image processing.
Okay, let me just start, okay? So agents, when they sell, I mean, they rather be transparent upfront about issues than later, because they do all the hard work and later. I mean, a good investor will do its due diligence and ask for like a building and pest inspection report, and those things will surely come up with in this report. I mean, the benefit of AI with the photo processing is able to detect those issues early in the process. Investors don't waste their time if this property is not good. Okay, so maybe pass on to you.
I'll probably share interesting cases I just facing when I do the demo, recording a session. I found a very good property, and it turned out it's just like all using fake photos. And so at current state, I would say I haven't mixed the AI or the large language model smart enough to tell the difference from the real picture or the artificially generated some fake pictures. So at this stage, you may see some land home package listing there, like, but they never haven't been built, but they will recommend that to you because that looks too good.
I'll add one thing then. This is from my personal experience as well. So internet searching tool is actually one we can do, and internet is smart to keep the history of the report or of the property. So basically, especially for the renovated property, the photo before the renovation normally is available on the internet as well, if they have advertising in the past. So this tool, our model is smart enough to look at those ones as a comparison. So if we actually see something, the reflagging, say for example, we can actually build a mechanism to flag those out.
And then last one, have you considered compliance, reputation, and data dependency risks?
Okay, so... I have a go first. So this is definitely, this is a very reason why when we wind back two pages, when it comes to commercialization, data is definitely the most important one. And then we need to find a data partnership, like basically establish the right agreement and make sure this, everything you do is legal and compliance in terms of the data usage and in terms of the recommendation we're making. So, yeah, anything.
There are freely available data released by the state governments, like New South Wales, Victoria governments. A lot of information you can find, like the rental yield, the historical prices. They do release those information regularly. They even give you maps which you can access. I mean, they have a huge database which pinpoints the locations and disclose the information. Those are all free. And then you are able to, anyone is able to access those data. And we, the AI model is able to access those data and then build the data warehouse.
Yeah, I think we build the data warehouse, and it's important that the AI property buyer agent can collect the information and extract those information from the public websites that's available.
Just a couple of questions, one frivolous and one serious. The first one is, if you do make multiple millions out of this, Iris, you're still coming to work on Monday. And the second one is, do you think that this might become more biased over time? So would you see these sort of models where state agents pay a fee to go higher up on the search engines, or you might sell it for domain for free for a few months and then make all the money. So that, do you think it's going to get more biased over time?
It's an Irish question, totally. It's...
Yes, sure. I would definitely go back to work. I love the work and I love to work for Francis. Yes, I think our model is getting, we're upgrading our model regularly. So we will ensure that our model is, get updated. And we are also on the testing stage. So we built our demo and we built our website. For testing as well. So, and then I think the commercialization is one of the points we are considering. So potentially we can build a model and then maybe work with others.
No, I think we're to time. Please join me in putting hands together for the presenter.